Today we are going to have a Mother's Day-esque message from God's Word. And I sometimes avoid doing this because sometimes I just do. But today I thought we're going to talk about something that has a strong Mother's Day element to it. But I think you'll also see it also has something for everyone. So don't check out if you're not a mother. Today we're going to talk about building boys and girls. We're going to talk about edification as a lifelong dream. And so today, building boys and girls. The seven wonders of the ancient world. We don't know exactly what the Colossus looked like, but this was a statue that was built in Rhodes, which is a little island of Greece. And the statue was 93 feet tall, and it was 12 years in the making in 200s before Christ. And the problem is an earthquake came along and broke it off at the knees and came tumbling down. So after all of that, it only lasted 54 years. Another of the seven wonders of the ancient world was the lighthouse in Alexandria, Egypt. And Sostratus oversaw the building of the lighthouse, and it took, once again, 12 years to build in the 200s BC. It had a 400-foot tall tower. At the top of the tower, a tremendous fire that would shine light and show people where the harbor was. Unfortunately, it was ruined by three earthquakes and abandoned altogether. And today we're not even 100% sure where the lighthouse was. One of the other wonderful seven wonders of the world, ancient world, is the project that was called the Hanging Gardens of Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar in the 500s BC. And it was, depending on which historian you listen to, it was maybe 75 feet tall, but it might have been as tall as 300 feet tall at the top. And it had exotic irrigation, full-grown trees in the middle of the Iraqi desert. Pretty impressive, right? And today, we don't really even know where that is, where it was located. And so we know it was in Iraq. We know approximately where it was in the city of Babylon. We don't know precisely where this tremendous structure was. Another wonder of the ancient world was the Temple of Diana. This was a structure that was taking up 1 acre of ground. It was 60 feet tall, all carved of marble. It was a magnificent thing. Today, there's only one column left standing in Ephesus where this great Temple of Diana was, and that's been put together by all these fractured pieces, and that's all that's left of that seven wonder, one of the seven wonders of the world. Six out of seven of these, we still have the Great Pyramids in Egypt. Six out of seven of these wonders of the ancient world are all gone now. But today, we're going to talk about building boys and girls, because the followers of Jesus build lives. These are immortal souls, and these lives are the wonders of the world, and they're never going to go away. They're never going to go away. And so when you look at that little fellow there in his costume, you should think that is a greater wonder of the world than the Pyramid of Egypt, than Colossus, than the Temple of Diana. That little guy right there, that's a real wonder of the world. And we want to spend our time working on that sort of building. We're going to find in the New Testament this discussion of the idea of edify. And the word edify basically just means to build up. And it comes from two words, oikos is house, demo is to build. So we're going to build up. We're going to build a house. And you see that the word edify is related to the word edifice. When we say the word edifice in English, we not only just mean a building, we mean it's a very special building. Like that thing is an edifice. That's a special building. And it's great that that word keeps coming up in the Greek New Testament, and we see it all the time as we're reading. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, comfort yourselves together and edify one another. Build people. Build people. You could build a colossus or a temple or a bridge or a building of some kind, an edifice, but maybe you should build people. In 1 Corinthians 4:26, let all things be done unto edifying. Everything you do should be to build people. It's what the Lord wants us to dream about, to plan on, to make it our lifelong ambition. Build people. 1 Corinthians 14:12, seek to abound for the edifying of the church. Build the church. Build the church is, of course, people, not a structure. Build people. In Ephesians 4:16, this is great. How shall we build people? Well, here's the answer. From Christ the whole body fitly joined together and combined by that which every joint supplies according to the effective working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying, the building up of itself in love. So you want to build people, you have to love them. Say, I don't know how to build people. Yes, you do. You know how to love. You can build people just fine. Romans 14:19, let us therefore follow after things which make for peace and things with which one may edify another. Let's build people. That's what we want to do. Build, 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 edify, edify. Now, we've all built things in our lives. I have, and I guess that's just who I am. On the top right-hand side of this slide, you see a picture of me when I was about 15 years old, all decked out in my dirt bike riding outfit, geared up. And that dirt bike, I didn't exactly build that one, but the one under it, that red and silver one, I had one just like that, and I did. I totally rebuilt that. My mom let me do it in my bedroom, and I didn't bring the whole motorcycle in my bedroom, but I brought the engine in my bedroom, and I took it completely apart. In those days, I had access to a machine shop. So, and that's a German motorcycle, by the way. That's very special, sort of like a Mercedes. That's a Mako 250 motocross bike. And I took that motor in my bedroom. I took it apart, everything apart, every gear in the transmission and every bearing. I had to do my own machine shop work. We bored out the cylinder to be several thousandths bigger because it was all scratched up. We had a milling machine, and we bored out the cylinder. You know, a hair is about 2 or 3 thousandths of an inch thick, and we needed to take that much scratching off the cylinder walls. So I bored my own cylinder. I rebuilt the crankshaft in my shop at high school, which involved a hydraulic press and putting it on a dial indicator to line things up, and you'd spin that around on the dial indicator, and it would show you if you were 1/1000th of an inch off. And I had balanced it to the place where it was no thousandths of an inch off. It was right on the money. And then I had to put in the bearings, which were press fit, so I took the bearing, the main bearing that the crankshaft sits in, I put that in my mom's freezer. And I took the crankcase, I put that in my mom's oven. And we made the oven go as hot as it'd go. Got the bearing as frozen as we could get it. And then put them together and smacked that bearing in there. And I built that, just everything, everything. I did it all. But it's gone. And you see up at the top at the 12 o'clock position, Morris Dempsey and I, we put a new crankshaft in my Mustang engine a couple years ago, and Mustang's gone. And down in the lower left-hand side is one of my construction projects. That's still there, but it'll go. All the construction projects do. None of these things ever last. So if you're going to build something, I recommend that you build the children. Edify the children. Build the children. You say, how can I build children? All right, I'm glad you asked. You build the children with small kindnesses. How small? Pretty small. Matthew 10:42. And whoever should give a cup of cold water to drink unto one of these little ones, only in the name of a disciple, truly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Do you realize that you could take care of children, you could build boys and girls by giving them a drink of water when they want to? And Jesus said, if you do that, if you'll build the boys and girls, I will never forget you. You will be rewarded for that. Isn't that extraordinary? He wants us to do. By the way, he talked about these things on more than one occasion. It's not just one grand sermon. In Matthew 18, Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst and said, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. You can't let the children just go without instruction, without help, without nurturing, without building them. You have to build the children, build the boys and girls. And so the Father who is in heaven doesn't want even one of them to perish. In the same context, but different gospel, Mark chapter 9, verse 36, he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And here, I love this part. And when he had taken him in his arms, he hugged him, he carried him, he cradled him, this little child. When he had taken him in his arms, he said to them, whoever shall receive one such child in my name receives me. When you pick up a child, Jesus says, you know, it's just like you're receiving me. You have to edify. You have to build up the boys and girls. And Jesus said, if you do that, you pick up that child, you give the child a drink of cold water, you've done that for me. That's what you're doing. In Matthew 18 still, But whoever shall offend one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and he was drowned in the depth of the sea. Don't tear the children down. I mean, we're going to build them up. We're going to edify them. You have to take care of the boys and girls. You don't hurt the boys and girls. You build them up. And never resent this. D.L. Moody was talking one time about one of his little Sunday school gatherings, and someone asked how it went, and he said, it went really well. He said, oh, why do you say that? He said, because 2.5 people were converted. And the person said 2.5 was the half the child. He said, no, the half was the adult, because half his life is over. The 2 were the children. You don't resent caring for the children. The children are mission critical. The children are so important. Don't resent caring for the children. Matthew 18:10, take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. I think, oh, you know, shoo, get out of here. No. Don't despise those little ones. You want to build the boys and girls. We want to edify everybody. And we have a special heart for boys and girls. You put all that together, see in the yellow font, receive one such child. And give a cup of cold water, and I'll never forget it. Don't offend one of these little ones. Do make sure that you tell them, that you build them, because God doesn't want even one of them to perish. And don't despise them, right? So we have to build up the boys and girls. Building boys and girls is the hardest thing you'll ever do. And it makes sense that it would be, because it's the most important thing you'll ever do. In Karen Hughes' lifetime, she had two great tasks. One was, she was the counsel to the president in the days of George W. Bush. Well, obviously, that's a very responsible position. But her other great position in life was that she was a mother. Guess which one was harder? She said, my new baby was fussy, inconsolable. He would not sleep or drink a bottle or do anything but cry and shriek at the top of his lungs. I tried walking, rocking, singing, walking some more. Babies sometimes cry, Dr. Prestige offered as his only explanation. When Jerry, her husband, arrived home from work a little after 5, I was hysterical. I took the baby and he took the baby and sent me to my aerobics class. I would later face consuming and chaotic times at the White House. But in terms of raw stress, nothing compares with the desperation of that long day. I know I survived, but I have never had a worse day in my life. It is memorialized on the baby calendar, a 3-word indictment of my maternal inabilities. Cried all day. That's it. It makes sense that building a boy or girl is the hardest thing because it's the most important thing. None of these things ever last. They all go away. So what do? We do this instead. You see where the blue arrows are? These are adults who have decided to build our youth group, our teens, our young people, and we're so thankful for them. When Jesus was talking about these things, he said, I have chosen you so that you should bring forth fruit and so that your fruit should remain. Do you see that in yellow? So that your fruit should remain. None of these things remain. They always just go away, but this remains. It never goes away. And Jesus says, I want you to build boys and girls, because they never go away. Your fruit will never just be knocked down or demolished or sent to a junkyard or disposed of. If you build the boys and girls, they have immortal souls and they never go away. So they're not just in the way. We don't resent them. We love them. We want to build them. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, remember, they never go away. They don't look like much. But they never go away. They have immortal souls. Then we shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. We shall be forever with the Lord. Forever. They never go away. Once a baby is brought into this world, he's one simple yes away from being the friend of God forever and ever. One simple, you might say, kiss of the soul to God. I want Jesus. I want God. Once he does that, he is God's friend forever and ever. He never goes away. Say, well, those little kids, they don't look like much. Oh, yeah. Right there, what you have? You have the 5 wonders of that world. Not a pyramid, a colossus, not some sort of a temple to Diana. You have little immortal souls, and they're not going to go away. Not in 50 years, not in 1,000 years, not in 3,000 years. They're never going to go away. So we want to build up boys and girls. These boys and girls, they're not in the way. They're not in the way at all. It's what we do. It's what we yearn for. It's what we crave. When Jesus was talking about this, remember, he said in Matthew 25, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, you have done it unto me." And who are the least? Who are the littlest? Who are the ones who don't seem to count very much, who don't change the world very much, who don't have anything particularly important to say in speeches? Who are these least? In many cases, children. And Jesus says, well, you know, if you love these children, it's the same as loving me. They're not in the way. We don't resent them. They're important to us. What we want to do is invest our lives in something that's just not going to disappear after a little while. And that means we want to invest our lives in immortal human souls and build up the boys and girls in particular. We have these terms that are used now called careerism and workism. And these are kind of new terms. They weren't very popular until very recently. And here is a quote from The Atlantic magazine in March of 2023. And Derek Thompson says, "Workism is the belief that work is the centerpiece of one's identity and life's purpose. It is rooted in the belief that work can provide community, meaning, self-actualization. The workplace has, for many, become the last community standing, promising transcendence and community, but failing to deliver." It's so interesting that our culture often equates your work as your life. Your work is mainly what you do. "Hi, my name is John." "Oh, what do you do, John?" "Oh, I'm an undertaker." Whatever. That's who you are. That defines you. But that's not how life really is. We have purchased a lie when we buy into that. The workism says it's the central defining thing in my life, my work. And that's not correct. The Pew Research Center interviewed almost 4,000 adults who had children under the age of 18. This was January in 2023, and the survey asked about the parents' priorities. 88% of those parents interviewed said it was either very or extremely important to their kids' future that they have an enjoyable career as an adult. Almost all the parents said, "Yeah, I just want my kids to have an enjoyable career." On the other hand, only 20% of them said that getting married was either very or extremely important to their kids' future. Specifically, 46% said it's not too important or not important at all. So almost half of all parents said, "Well, I don't really care if my kids do get married and have children of their own." Same thing again with the bottom statistic. Only 21% said that having children of their own was either very important or extremely important. 46% again said, "Well, it's not very important at all if my kids have children of their own." That's really something. Brad Wilcox, sociologist at the University of Virginia, he says, it should trouble all of us that nearly 50% of parents would say that marriage and parenthood are basically not important. That's really something. And we don't realize what's going on there, but it's because workism, careerism, has become the focus of all that we do in our adult lives and even preparing for our adult lives. Actress Helen Mirren says, "I always did and still do value my freedom too highly to become a parent." Actress Katharine Hepburn, who was childless by choice, she said, "If motherhood doesn't interest you, don't do it. See, it doesn't matter." One fellow says, "An essential part of my personality is focused around careerism. It's my top priority in life, and it was a massive factor in my choosing to be child-free. To me, personal success and accomplishment far outweigh children." One other person said, "My career is very important because I want to do something meaningful in life and not just have a pleasant but mediocre office job. It's very important to me that I have both bodily autonomy and financial independence, which only seem completely possible without kids." So, what are we going to do? In the Huffington Post a few years back, an article said to women, "If you want to be successful in your career, don't have children. To succeed, You need to focus on what you want without distraction. Many women choose not to have children. They value the time and effort it takes to become secure in a career, and they are enjoying the intellectual and monetary perks it provides. 43% of college-educated women between the ages of 33 and 46 are child-free. The truth is that most women who have achieved professional success have chosen not to have children. That's called careerism or workism. Problem is, the fruit doesn't remain. Even if in your career you were to make the Colossus, an earthquake's going to knock it down. If in your career you're going to make the lighthouse of Alexandria is in the bottom left-hand corner, it's going to fall apart. In this case, the lighthouse that you see there isn't even the right one in the right place. It's a miniature one that was rebuilt many years later. If you like the Hanging Gardens of Babylon project, you should remember that it's gone now at the bottom middle picture. You see the Hanging Gardens out in the middle of the desert of Iraq. It doesn't look like a garden anymore, does it? And you see on the right-hand side the only pillar that's left from the Temple of Diana, an acre in size, 60 feet high, and one pillar is left and another little stubby one, and that's just put together from fragments that were found all around. So even if you could make all of those things, you still wouldn't have fruit that lasts. How can a person have fruit that never goes away? John 15:16, I have chosen you so that you should bring forth fruit and so that your fruit should remain. But even the Colossus and the Temple of Diana and the Lighthouse at Alexandria and the Hanging Gardens of Babylon, even they didn't remain. So you have another option. Yes, you know, build your career. You have to do what you have to do to put bread on the table. Sure, build your career. But this is not enough if you want your fruit to remain. I have built things, but all those things go away. Except on the left-hand side where you see the yellow arrow, that little fellow there is my first grandson. Now, he doesn't look like much, but you know what? He's never going to go away. And you see that look on his face? Like, are you going to help me? Are you going to build me? And the answer is, yeah, we got you. We're going to build a little immortal soul here, and it will never go away. You realize that's better than the Great Pyramids, right? Here's a nice young Christian woman. You see what she has in her arms there? That baby is as fragile as glass. You drop a glass vase on the sidewalk, it's going to break. You drop the baby on the sidewalk, may very well break. And yet, he doesn't look like much. But he's going to be here 10,000 years from now. When there's no Colossus, when there's no pyramid, when there's no lighthouse, he's still going to be here. So you underestimate it. You think, well, why would I want to invest my life in that? The answer is because that little guy isn't going anywhere. This little girl right here and the adult girl next to her, now she doesn't look very strong. She doesn't look like she could weather the slightest storm. But that little girl right there, she's not going anywhere. She's going to be around here for thousands and thousands of years. In fact, in 1 John 2:17, the apostle warns us, you know, the world passes away. It's all going to go. The world passes away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God lives forever. That little human soul is never going to pass away. That's something. And don't just build your own children, right? You don't have to be a mother to do this. Build everybody else's children too. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, the Lord is not willing that any should perish. The heavens shall pass away with a great noise. The earth also shall be burned up. But God doesn't want the children to perish. You have to build up the children. And everything you see in that picture, everything that's colorful, you see the sky, you see some trees in the background, you see, you know, clothing and costumes and all those things. All of that is going to go away. The concrete, the buildings, you see the interstate sign in the background. All of that is going to go away. And you know what's going to be left? Those little children. And the other children, the adult children, who are helping them. In John 11:26, Jesus says, whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Never. See, that's better than a great pyramid, right? That's better than Colossus. That's better than the lighthouse. That's better than the Hanging Gardens. Whoever believes in me will never die. And so you want to build the children. That's what this is all about. If you've been around for a really long time, you might know that two of my sons are in that picture and four of Tom and Charlotte Cotton's children. And then there are two boys there from another family. These were literally the only children we knew in October of 1990. And they're precious. Revelation 21:1. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away. It all goes away. Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Those little children there, and by the way, Shawnee was probably 14 years old at this time and being a good sport to take care, to build up my little 5-year-old son who was having his birthday party. How nice. But that little group of children right there, not going anywhere. You know, that group, that's like the 7 wonders of the world right there. You build them and they never go away. This little group, Matthew 18:14, remember, says, it's not the will of your Father who is in heaven that any one of these, not even one, should perish. The mixed-race girl in the background, I told you about her sometime back in February. She was raised by parents who didn't love her. They had no intention of building her. As a matter of fact, they were tearing her down. And she was adopted, and today she's doing really, really well. That's a beautiful story. And it's not the will of your fathers in heaven that any of these should ever perish. They are all important, more important than the pyramids and the Colossus and the lighthouse and the Hanging Garden and all of it, more important because they never go away. Sometimes I check in on Teresa. Hey, Teresa, what you doing? And, you know, I pretty much know what she's doing. The conversation could sound something like this. It's not identical to what we actually say, but it's sort of like, as Jane Austen would say it in her romance books, we have an understanding. So it sounds like this. Hey, hon, just checking in. What you doing? It's like she would say in almost every case, you know, just building boys and girls. That's all. That's all. Just building the Great Pyramid. Just building the Colossus, just building the Hanging Gardens, that's all. Just building boys and girls, that's it. Of course, it's not just for mothers or females. John 15:16, I have chosen you so that you should bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain. And that's for men too. They're building, boys and girls, they're building and their fruit will remain. It never goes away. And by the way, it involves building all of God's boys and girls, all of God's children. And that's a picture right there of God's boys and girls. We know that because Jesus taught us, first of all, in John 13:33, he said, little children, yet a little while I'm with you. And he's talking to full-grown adults. Just a little while I'm going to be with you. And then John picked up on that, 1 John 2:18, little children, talking to full-grown adults, it is the last time. In 1 John 2:28, and now little children, abide in him. 1 John 3:7, little children, let no man deceive you. 1 John 3:18, my little children, let us not love in word only. 1 John 4:4, you are of God, little children. They're all little children. And we just want to build up boys and girls, even if they are elderly. Well, it's a Mother's Day tradition, so we have to close with our Mother's Day story. This comes from a man who is in the Dallas area on business. He had nothing going on a particular Saturday and realized that there was a regional cross-country championship for the girls. That's a 2-mile event. And he thought, well, I don't have anything else going. Let me go watch the girls run their cross-country race. So here's what he says. As the girls' race came to a close, I watched a 40-plus-year-old mother who was wearing patent leather shoes and a skirt and carrying a purse. She ran the last 100 yards beside her daughter, giving no thought to the spectacle she made. She cried, run, Tammy, run, Tammy. The girl was in trouble. She was in the last stage of weariness, but when she heard her mother's voice, a marvelous transformation took place. She straightened, found her balance, her bearing, her rhythm, and she finished. She crossed the line, turned, and collapsed into the arms of her mother. They fell on the grass together, and they cried, and then they laughed. They were having the best time together. And I thought of my own children and of the race of life they are running, a different and far more important race. I'm a spectator in that race also. I have helped them to train. I have pleaded, instructed, threatened, punished, prayed, praised, laughed, and cried. But now their race has begun, and my heart is bursting, always whispering in a voice they cannot hear, "Run, children, run." So let building be your lifelong dream. Edify. You have to choose what edifice I shall build. How about if you build boys and girls, the only edifices that never go away? And bear in mind that you should build even the little children who are now elderly, so that, as Jesus said it in John 15, then what you build will remain. Can we stand and be dismissed with prayer? Father God, we just want to say that today, freshly, we take up the challenge and we want to build boys and girls. And we also want to build little children who are elderly now. And we want to build them so that our fruit will remain. And I pray that we would never underestimate the value of any single immortal soul, and that we begin our building in earnest, freshly, even now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.